Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already moved.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Now wait a minute, I got put my eye medicine in. I got there. Okay, now I got that in. We can do the but I did not use the illegal stuff. You know, that was somebody's prescription with antibacterial, put it in your eye. That would be illegal. Don't do that. But you can get the over the counter kind of the eye drop, saline, doesn't do anything. But if I were to do the combination of the two, I might get better, which I am, but not because I admit that I did anything illegal. That would be bad. You know, that was one thing. I was talking to someone yesterday, Chris Hellman from the, Progressive De La Whatever Institute. Now, their thing is that they have been really going on, along with a lot of other people that we'll have over the next few days and next week, representing the left. I like having, you know, these guys on because we can at least agree on what our mission is. Theirs is more government control over various things. And their thing about Obamacare, they don't like this. You know, the House voting to do away with Obamacare because that was like a big giant chunk of goody for them. And I'm going, you know, you want to increase health. You want more people access to. Stop all the government regulation, licensing, control, subsidizing, and rationing of. You know, stop. I go right now, not later. You can go to the feed store, tack stores where they have saddles and, you know, livestock and veterinary supply and whatever. They got them all over the valley here in Phoenix. I'm sure they do in your area too. You just go to the feed store, and I don't know what it is in your state, but you can get 500 milliliter bottle or half a liter bottle of penicillin for less than $20, and a syringe is like 49 cents. And you can take care of yourself. Well, they also have tetracycline, different kind of whatever it is, for pigs and poultry. But I checked this out years ago. You know, I'll tell you how I found out about it. I'll tell you the story, and it really angered me. In the mid-90s, my children are small, you know, they're preteen, and they're, you know, running around being rugrats and such, and we had dogs. We had one dog named Spuds. She's passed away, and she sits on my mantle in a cremation box, you know, for everybody signs the box and kids and so on. And she had several litters. Well, one of them, we kept the dog, and our latest dog, she died about 13, 14 years old just last year, that her name is Tasha, as in Tasha Yar, Star Trek. Well, she had a brother in a previous litter named Worf, a male dog. But I really like that. So we had Worf. Worfie was, you know, the kids loved him, and it's great and wonderful and a good puppy and so on. And then he got sick. He got what's called parvo. If you ever had a dog that got parvo, it's a terrible way to die. What happens is your intestines, or theirs do, their intestines kind of liquefy and the cells break down and they're just a constant, like, diarrhea of blood, and it smells like burnt pizza sauce or something. And it's just, it's very distinctive. And if you ever had it happen again, we've had friends and neighbors and girlfriends of my sons and so on have had this, and we go, I know exactly what this that is, and my kids understood it too. When this happened, we went and we called the veterinarian, you know, what do we got to do? Absolutely. We can cure your dog. You bring them down, we put them on an IV, they stay here for a few days on a penicillin IV minimum. And this is in the mid-90s, $600. That'd be what, $1,000-$2,000 now. So I'm going, you know what? Love the dog, don't love him that much. Didn't have the option choice anyway. And my kids, you know, Dad, what are you going to do? I'm sorry. You know, we'll see how, you know, the dog, I didn't know it was almost certain fatal without antibiotics. Put him in the bathroom where he just crapped himself to death. It was terrible. We like, no, heck no, we're not doing it. I got 22 calibers for this. And when our next dog got sick again, we were like, that was an option. I'm going, we will not go through this again. I'll do what I can to find what I can get. I found out by doing, now this is before internet searching was big and all that. This is mid-90s. You kind of just calling around and stuff. And some employee at a veterinary clinic was nice enough to tell me, and they knew what was going to happen. And they said, you know, you can go buy penicillin at the supply store, you know, at the feed supply for people that have small farms and so on. And I go, really? So I went to the feed store, and sure enough, they had, you know, big brown glass things of penicillin. I take it. I get the syringes. And it was a big fight, you know, for my wife to hold down the dog. She didn't want to hold while I'm sticking them. And that was like a bigger issue than the dog getting stuck, you know, because you lift up the loose skin, you just put it in, there ain't no thing. So we went ahead and did that, and we just pumped that dog, you know, all kinds of penicillin. We did like a full syringe probably, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 times a day. Within 2 or 3 days, you know, one, the dog didn't get any worse, and within 2 or 3 days, done. And I hardly used any of the penicillin. I mean, this is a big, you know, bottle. You know, it was like, you know, like 10 ounces or something. So I'm going, all right. I'm not happy about this. So I go, is this the same penicillin that, you know, you use in yourself? Well, I talked to some pharmacy friends, and so they were pharmacists, and she goes, yeah, it's exactly the same thing. The only difference is what is the concentration. It's how many parts per million or whatever. So you look at that. Based on that information, you'll know how much you can give to yourself. Well, I mean, it's not like I'm going around sticking myself penicillin whenever I want, you know, but it's nice to have. You can also get water soluble that they put it in the drinking water or whatever of, you know, pigs and fowl and so on. They keep that. Same stuff. Same. Maybe an older, maybe even better version of various different antibiotics that you can get. So if you're a survivalist, what are you trading? How many doses can you get for, you know, less than $100? You could, I don't know, buy a house when the time's right. Know what I mean? Because penicillin and antibiotics are going to be extremely valuable when the health care of has to go through the man. And it's already too expensive. So talking about this to people on the left, that poor people would be better served. Poor people would be healthier. Poor people could take care of themselves. Poor people. It's not about poor people. It's about government control. And that's what they're advocating. That's what they want. That's what they are begging for. All right. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, the another thing I want to talk about, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have John Stewart. He's one of the activists here. He does a lot on mortgage fraud and so on. And he also, a lot of people may know, every now and then we'll do a show on his case. It was January of 2008, so this is like 2 years ago, there was a drunk individual, way heavy, over extreme DUI kind of out there, and this guy had blog, you know, I like getting all roided up and going and beating up people and so on, he's on his blog, blah, 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 blah. Well, this is all, you know, well-known, stipulated, but he was politically connected and all this kind of stuff. But it was during Super Bowl week, and where you had the Phoenix Open here, you know, the tournament players club up there in North Scottsdale. So they had a lot of, overlapping events, and we were putting a lot of signs up and having fun. Well, he's putting up signs up there, and it's dark. It's, later at night. And this guy was weaving really bad. So John just went around him, sped up and went around him, got in front of him in a relatively, isolated area called Cave Creek. Cave Creek Road is not, real popular. It's way, way north Phoenix, kind of in the desert. Well, this guy didn't like it too much. So he came up and at the stoplight, got out and started beating him through his driver window. Well, a shot rang out, shot the guy in the head, he's dead. They prosecute John. For 2 years this has been going on. Now he's out, he's not in jail. But he got a little bit of information down at the court today that he's going to share with us. And I want to share with you, man, this stuff, it's like you can't make this stuff up. We'll be right back. You stay there. It'll be interesting.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
There's a road to freedom. That's right, Guns and Weed, the road to freedom. Now, we didn't have time to play a clip, and I want to get into some other stuff, so make sure we get this in. I'm going to go ahead and play the two-minute clip they have for the movie. And just so you can see, certainly those of you that can hear, you can hear the rhetoric, and then those on the video, on the YouTube, and on our site, you can watch the show in video and see the quality of this production. I mean, it's yummy, yummy. Let's go ahead and play it, and you'll see what I mean.
Some of the first weapon restriction laws in the United States were passed in the South in the 1870s as a response to the freeing of recently enslaved African Americans.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
I wonder how prohibitionists would feel if they saw medical marijuana vastly improve the life of someone dear to them.
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
At one store, I get a high point. 9 milli, papers for my joint, and a pack of fillies. Yes, I'm feeling very honored. But if the world were truly free, I could also buy my marijuana. They despise the very thought of. In fact, take a look at this. Took my sack, tax my cigarettes. And my trans fatty acid. Only tape I see is red. Fed goes on kittens stomping, and the sheet is popping. Now shoot your dog, man, with a pussy 223.
There's no longer the shady behind the back alley. Hand a bag over, hand some cash over, and now it's open. We're here.
We have three of our signature strains. This is all being raffled away the day before Halloween, so someone's gonna have one of the best Halloweens of their life.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippie! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
We have abdicated ownership of our own bodies and lives. And it doesn't make any difference at all whether that's guns or marijuana or automobiles or our marriages.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi. Coming as soon as we can find someone cool enough to distribute it.
Ooh, ooh, are we cool enough? Are we wearing shades? Yeah, we definitely want to be part of this. I can understand. Those of you could see the video. Just Google Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom official trailer, and that's what we played. Now, you can also get the entire film online. They BitTorrent it. They have done it in 16 segments on YouTube to where you can take those and just have them all play at one time. And it's so high quality. I stopped watching it. I was just going to watch it a little bit and wait for I get the DVD. And then I watched the second one. And I watched the third one. And fourth, fifth. I'm like, okay, wait. I don't want to watch the whole thing now. I want to watch it with some friends. So that's what we're going to be holding out on. And we talked to them. They're going to be sending me one real quick. Now, if we were probably decided that it's going to be the last weekend in March that we do this, because we'll be all moved by then, we'll get it all set, and we have, you know, a place where we could have a kind of on a farm out there. I got plenty of area that we can have a big movie night, or if they won't do it at the Harkins here at ASU. I suspect they will. Arizona just legalized marijuana and decriminalized concealed carry without a permit, you know, so that you could just, you know, you're good. So I'm thinking, yeah, this is not going to be that big a stretch. If it is, we will not let it stop. We'll just have us a big party right near my birthday. Don and I's birthday is at the end of March. So I'm going to turn 50. So it's not an over-the-hill party. It's top-of-the-hill party on guns and weed. So that would be a party. So we're going to be doing that. We'll have some fun. Well, you know, one of the other things I wanted to talk about is a gentleman sent me let's go ahead and I want to preface what's going to happen at the bottom of the hour with John Stewart coming in, because I talked to Mark J. Victor. He's my partner on the Freedom Summit. And I go, Mark, have you heard about this? You know, what John had to say. And it has to do with officers being charged with, you know, destroying evidence or not doing, you know, and they're getting indicted and other cases want to bring this in. Hey, these are the guys that were in charge. And they go, nope, not going to let it be in. Doesn't matter that they're scum and whatever, and we'll find out. But Mark Victor is the attorney for several families that were part of the Baseline Killer. The Baseline Killer was a murdering spree of a serial killer here that come to find out that the police, they just, you know, they just go through the motions. The detectives, man, they were all over it. They were like, man, get on, you know, get. But then the crime lab wasn't, and it was kind of just, it was just the perfect example of how ineffectual government is on the one thing that they promise you that you need them for. What if there was a war? What if there was a serial killer? Boy, you'd want us then, wouldn't you? Well, maybe not. So this is kind of the issue that we're talking about here, and I just wanted to, you know, find out what was going on. So that's why I bring that up. Now, the other thing is, yesterday they started doing the wallet voting thing, and it's really starting to get a lot of attention and buzz on, you know, kind of what we anticipated would happen. We're going to the gun show. We're having the banners done for wallet voting. We get a lot of, you know, information out, and we're sharing and so on. But somebody asked me, he said, he goes, Ernie, I read your or saw the video that Ed Vallejo had done. And Ed is, you know, he does his own thing. You know, he wants to share with whatever. It's the Ed show. You know, this is what I was doing. It's kind of Revolution Continues. I'm busy. And then we have 4409, and he's a little more experienced in making a tight movie. He has all the information. He knows what to get in there, and he does it really quick. And within 3 minutes, he'll have, well, Ed's video is short. I did go watch it after I had written this and watched, you know, saw this article from a reader. And we'll get the information out. We're getting there. But he did make a point, and I wanted to share it with you. I'll just read the exchange that we had, see if I can read it through my glasses here. Ernie, I watched most of the video you have posted on Freedom's Phoenix concerning someone putting money into parking meters. No explanation as to why he is doing it or what the objective was ever given. So I responded, I'm not sure which video you're referring to. Well, it was Ed's. Because 449 has yet to put his up. He was out there videotaping too, and he works on it a while. He writes, I frequently post stories and embed videos that I source from Freedom's Phoenix, but I had to let you know that this video is very poorly presented because nowhere in is the campaign explained to the reader. Thanks, we'll work on that. Now, this came from a national talk show host that you know, takes a lot of stuff from Freedom's Phoenix, which is cool, so I'm glad he brought this up. Why is someone paying for citizens' parking meters, and what does it have to do with moving to a real money gold silver system? Well, my first response is because we can. Excuse me. When we come back, we'll go ahead and get real quick with John Stewart, and I'll go ahead and read what I wrote to him. It's on Freedom's Phoenix right now, and it explains, you know, really a look into my mind on how I view these activist things, why I do it the way I do it, in the order. Create a general good feeling first, then it kind of evolves into the activism and the why behind it. This is a perfect example of me to explain to him, which he thought was a good explanation. I'll share it with you.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube, and what do I see? A whole lot of people crying, don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and you get it, you said. Get over it. Get over it. All this running and crying.
Hey, get over it, get over it. Yeah, I'm giving my eyes a rest, you know, but that will be entertaining. You know, the one thing that I've shared with you in the last segment, you know, kind of why we're interested in John Stewart's case and the Baseline Killer and all this. And John, let me know today something that we might want to share with you guys is that you're making noise, John. Stop making noise. So one thing that we wanted to share with you was some information that he happened to come across today while he was down at the court. Why were you down at the court?
I was watching somebody else's court case because the detective that's been trying to frame me for 3 years has been actually trying to frame this other guy for 4 years. So I wanted to see how that case went and exactly how they were pulling off the frame that they're so good at pulling off.
Okay, let's not get into accusation detail. Tell me what you learned.
Okay, I learned that there is a man named David Barnes that was the supervisor for the homicide department of the Phoenix Police Department. He was also the senior homicide investigator for the Baseline Killer case. He has been indicted. He has been removed from the police department for perjury, destruction of evidence, and planting evidence. And the police department is working with the judges to stop all of these issues from showing up in the murder cases because people that have been convicted will be able to use this to get new trials. So
okay, now how certain are you of this information? I mean, the names, what their position was, what they're being charged with. Because, I mean, you go making accusations like this on the show, on the air, here in Phoenix, Freedom's Phoenix, Mark Victor's thing. Everybody and their grandma is going to check, and it's going to be, you know, rock solid, right?
Yes, that's why I'm not mentioning the other names, because I've got a whole bunch of people, at least half a dozen people right now, that professionally discover information that are working on it. Here's what we know for sure. Barnes has been indicted. Barnes has been indicted for perjury and destruction of evidence. The indictment apparently did not include planning evidence, but it was brought up in the indictment.
Okay, now his position is what?
He's a civilian now. He is trying to get back on the police department and trying to quash the indictment.
Well, how long ago did this happen?
The indictment was issued a little over a year ago, but it goes to cases as far back as 6 years.
And we're just now finding out about this stuff?
Well, there was a little bit of a release on it. Then the police department pulled everything. The press stopped working on it. So you can find a little bit about it, but it doesn't really go into the whole what cases he worked on or his actual position as a supervisor and a trainer for the other homicide detectives.
Okay, so how this comes in is that we're getting to the point now to where cases are coming to trial that he was working on, murder cases and so on, that defense attorneys are going, hey, man, you know, this guy, you know, we knew he was scum from back then, and now we got indictments showing that, you know, we want evidence that and put this in and share it with the court and the jury, and they go, no.
Exactly. The judges, because if the judges allow it in on any case, then guys that were convicted could use that for a trial de novo and get a whole new trial. So the judges right now, at least in the murder case that I was watching today, the judge prohibited any mentioning of the name of the indictment, and it was the original cop that was investigating the man that's on trial for murder today.
Wow.
The whole thing in his trial was just like mine. All the evidence that proves he's innocent disappeared. In my case, there's 9 pieces of evidence that prove that I'm innocent, that prove they shouldn't have even arrested me, and they've all disappeared.
Because they can. All right.
Because they can.
Okay. Thanks for sharing this with us, and we'll, keep this adding this to the information that we already do know and the discovery process and all that Mark Victor is going on with the city of Phoenix, because it's going forward. He represents several families that were affected by the actions of, and I know this is going to play into it, at least not, if not directly in his case, certainly in the public relations part, and that's my job.
Well, but hold on just for a second, Ernie. I think it does play in his case. He was, whether or not, and I don't think they've even told Mark Victor this, he was the senior homicide investigator on the baseline killing case. And if Mark Victor hasn't been told that by the other side, they're withholding evidence from him.
We will find out, I guarantee. John, thanks for coming on and updating us on that, man. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
You know, it's did I push the button right? There we go. You know, this stuff happens more often than you think. You know, as Mark and I have been involved in a lot of cases over the past 15 years that he and I have worked together, I guess it's probably more because when I get involved, it's because of something like this. Mark, I'm sure he does a lot of cases, and he has a lot of good things to say about some of the detectives and people that he works with. But as the system and certain individuals, and he'll be the first to tell you, man, it is jacked up, and it goes all the way up, I mean, including judges and so on. And a lot of it's a philosophical thing. You know, if they can rationalize in their own head that they're doing the Lord's work, well, they just do it. I'll give you an example. When we had election fraud, I started to find out, and you know, if I had to put, how do they get away with this stuff? Who is it that's doing this? You know, who are the programmers that, you know, keep quiet? How deep are they in it? Why are they so invested? Are they just crooks and they just give money? Which is a lot of times the case. But I started to see a common thread. Now, I'll just share this with you. I don't have any evidence of this one way or the other, but I saw a common thread that I think as time goes along, this will be part of the, you know, the JFK documentary on election fraud done 10, 20 years from now. My experience has been this. The people that are part of the machine that help election fraud go through, when it gets to a certain point that investigations are blocked, that people are instrumental in certain positions to allow it to happen and everything, it comes down to, wait for it, here we go, the pro-life issue. What has happened is a lot of people that are pro-life and whatever specific religious, you know, association they may have, but, you know, there's some more involved than others, but it was the pro-life. They rationalized in their head that election fraud served their purpose of not getting the murdering baby killers in office that would have them, blah, 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 blah. And as some of the cases, when I start coming across this, that was a common theme. I found the people that were blocking these things were big pro-life advocates. And the races that we were looking at, you know, really favored a lot of times, kind of, you know, how the heck did that happen? People that were pro-life candidates. So I'm going, you know, this is all right. Once I get to that point, you know, I didn't really care what their rationale was. It was that, you know, was somebody lying? Were they not invented? Were they somehow rationalizing in their head that what they were doing was Lord's work? I think so. We get the same thing for things like guns and drugs and their ever increasing worship at the altar of the government. You know, somehow they're able to rationalize it. And once they start down that path, it's almost impossible for them to get away from it. All right. So that's what I think, you know, is going on here. You'll have people that they may just be corrupt or lazy or whatever. But, you know, you watch the cop shows. You know, it's always the guy, you know, rationalizing how he's kind of kicking in the door and fudging around the edges and all that kind of stuff, to where not does it become the exception, it becomes the rule. Because they want to rule you. They'll do it nicely, though, and for good reason. When we come back, we'll finish up on the wallet voting thing and the explanation of why we're doing everything the way we are, building up to this weekend's gun show. We'll talk about it when we come back. You stay right there.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I wanted to go ahead and finish up with this walletvoting.com effort that we're doing in Phoenix. What the heck does wallet voting and this advocacy of gold and silver and junk silver and exchange and bartering and all that, what the heck does that have to do with parking meters? I don't know. Let's take a walk through my abstract mind and see if I can make the link. One of the other things that we have on Freedom's Phoenix today, if you look at it, it's towards the top. Here it says, the Liberty Trade Net Project, trade using sound money for a sound future. Tom Westbrook is an Uber Intel computer geek that's for a long time, years, you know, he kind of got it going and then he changed it and he moved it over to Drew Paul and he put modules in, yada, yada, yada. And he got it finished in time for us to promote before this weekend. LibertyTrade.net mission statement, create an internet tool that will facilitate trade using physical and digital sound money currencies. I suggest that you go there to check this out, LibertyTrade.net. Now, what it does, I'm going to go ahead and open up the page here for those of you online. What it is a combination of, best way to explain it, of Craigslist and eBay. What you can do is you can post pictures, you can, you know, bid, you can do all, you can communicate, you can even do some kind of, you know, event stuff and all kinds of things. He took the attributes of Craigslist and eBay and kind of combined them. The only special thing that he did, though, is that you can select, instead of how much money, you know, I put up, this is going to, like an eBay thing, you know, bidding price starts at, I don't know, $5, or we have, it's for $20 that I sell it. You can have it converted into any currency, old silver, grams of gold, ounces of silver, Federal Reserve notes, whatever you want. This is the beginning process of the alternative economy. You know, here we go. So I just wanted you to know, this is part of a much larger thing. We have a smartphone app that was done. Nick Barnett and friends had created an Android. I got it on my Droid right now. You just put, I need to get $20. All right, how many dime Nick cord did in the old type? Boom, that many. Boom, done. There it is. You know, this is exactly what I was hoping would happen. We haven't even launched it yet. Okay, that's just this Saturday, and we're already getting everything ready, the artwork and different promotional things. But I always had this thing in the back of my head about doing the parking meter thing, and hopefully you'll understand why after I read this for you. Okay, let me go ahead and pull this up on the other computers so you can see that. And do this. Bear with me. Now, because this is important for you to understand how my mind works and why, and I think you'll appreciate it, and only a lot of the people listening to this show would probably get it. Now, this is from a national talk show host that's supportive of the stuff that we do, and he wanted to know why I did it. He's more conservative, you know, neo-Republican type, okay? And he's like, why is someone paying for citizens' parking meters, and what does it have to do with moving to a real money gold-silver system? Simple and abstract reasoning follows. Back in the early 80s, I was a young restaurant manager that had an idea for a Christmas promotion. We would go to the downtown area of a small Pennsylvania town and put coins in the parking meters and a coupon on the cars, informing them of our gift. Days later, I learned that the small town didn't charge for parking during Christmas holidays, but the campaign was a great success anyway, and people appreciated it more than I anticipated. For 25 years, I've been waiting for an opportunity to get the same emotion generated towards something important. Freedom's Phoenix was always on the list, and the Ron Paul Levolution, too. I mean, I've been thinking about this for a long time. It just never really, you know, came together. I mean, I got so many things I'm doing. Freedom's Phoenix was always on the list, but the enthusiasm of activists doing the work is always needed to make something like this work for long enough to have a lasting impact and naturally create a reaction from government and the media. WalletVoting.com is perfect. WalletVoting.com is a special edition on Freedom's Phoenix. It involves coins that people individually place in a machine that goes to the government. WalletVoting.com instructs them about the real value of some coins, and the goal is to get them to even look at the site or at least begin to recognize the logo as the campaign progresses. It takes almost no extra time to check the coin for real value before feeding the state with it. We know people that work at various coin-operated government facilities that comb through the coins and exchange newer ones for the much more valuable older ones. And the people are educated with the new information that they are likely to share with others. But the goodwill generated towards the effort is worth a lot more than the nickel. So, what does this project have to do with silver and 90% silver U.S. minted coins? More than you might think at first glance. But the real goal is to create buzz, generate a reaction from government and the media, and to have fun while generating a positive emotion from those helped. And the bonus of developing an understanding that we are defending them from the state, we fed your meters so you don't feed the state, from the state with a nickel won't be a lost issue with many either. Ironically, this is the biggest motivation for many activists to get involved in this project. What many interested in politics miss, and what makes many of my supported efforts different, is the emphasis on how the activism makes people feel. Intellectually understanding something pales in significance with how somebody feels about something. A good feeling about something you agree with evolves into active support. Agree with my methods or not, I hope you'll understand why I take on these sorts of projects in the order that I do. Positive emotions first for such a government-opposed issue like this. Positive emotions first for such a government-opposed issue like this. This is going to be opposed by the government. They don't like it. I already want people feeling good about it before they even get their, you know, propaganda going. Who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? The why will be self-evident as time passes. This project is hoped to be as large as the Love Project around the philosophy of an unknown 70-plus-year-old congressman from Texas. First, we associated Ron Paul with a loving revolution. The why became well understood over time. Emotion is a powerful tool. This is why governments use fear and anger as often as they do to manipulate the populace. But these emotions are very corrosive and create unpleasant side effects that make the emotions of love and peace of mind, etc., all the more welcome. So the more you might hate the state, the more you should spread the love. Having a nickel put in your parking meter to help prevent $30 to $60 or more to the state that uses the resource to further enslave you is a welcome demonstration of at least a nickel's worth of love. Those with other ideas always get the same response from me. Waiting on you now. I am so, you got a better idea? I'm like, you know, waiting on you now, waiting on you now, waiting on you now. It is most beneficial for me to create an infrastructure. You know, this is where all the artwork is. This is what the kind of the theme is. This is what's happening. Now, Starchild is a good friend of mine out of San Francisco. He's a Libertarian Party activist and so on. The Libertarian National Party started getting wind of this. And he asked me, he's going, yeah, I'm not a big, you know, this is great and wonderful and blah, blah, blah. I'm not a big fan of having, you know, Ben Bernanke morphed into the werewolf and the silver bullets and taking him out. You know, look what happened to Gabrielle Giffords. And I got a good point. You know what I mean? We don't really emphasize that. You know what I mean? I suspect it's going to kind of happen anyway. And that's the one thing that the media will jump on. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's almost worth it just for them to do that. But, you know, it's, do you want to be advocating, you know, the silver bullet? You know, so I'm more akin to, if we can do like some movies have, is they depict the Federal Reserve not as a person but as a thing that's morphed into what. So if we can get away with that, we'll do that. But, you know, a lot of people are going to be doing what they're going to do. You know, I haven't done anything. You know, we're just, you know, up there. Yeah, you know, who has a silver bullet? Who's going to take out the Fed? Oh, Ron Paul, you know, his Lone Ranger, Tonto's Rand or something. You know, and the Federal Reserve's got to be the werewolf. You know, who depicts that? Or we, you know, come up with something generic. This has already started, and it's growing. Banners are done for the show. We have the gun show owner coming on Friday afternoon. He's all up to speed on it. You know, this is going to be very interesting how this evolves, but we're not going to force it. We're not going to push it. We're not going to make it all work and everything. We're just going to show up, have some information, be all good. It's going to go nationwide. You just back off and let it go. Don't try to control it. You want to kill a movement, try to control it. I know this. I'm glad I could share it with you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Another great show, I'm sure. Thanks to Sierra, the producer. She always gets us hooked up. Doesn't she? Yeah, send her an email. You know? Yeah, let her know. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is Ernest Hancock. I'm publisher of freedomsphoenix.com and the radio talk show host of Declare Your Independence. Now, I want to give you my personal endorsement of a wealthy U.S. citizen that is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He's produced a video for you. It's a real eye-opener, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to watch it. www.endofamerica1and7.com. endofamerica17.com. This video has the history of how we got where we are now and where we're going and why. Now, it's a lengthy video. It'll be about 20 minutes, but you need to watch this so you understand what's going to happen to this country and how you can protect your wealth and even benefit financially. Now, you go there. It's free. I want you to watch this video. You need to have this information so that you can survive the economic collapse that's coming to America. It's not if, it's when. That's End of America, the numbers 1and7.com. After you watch it, you'll understand why I endorsed it.